This is why today I'm introducing comprehensive ethics reform, not driven by the illegal acts of any one person, but instead by what's legal and rampant in our entire system of government.
No, it's not about Joe Bruno being indicted for corruption. You heard Governor Patterson there. The ethics reforms that he is proposing are to fix what is legal. Let's hear about another minute from the heart of Governor Patterson's State of the State address.
The Reform Albany Act will have as its centerpiece an independent ethics commission that will have jurisdiction over state government. This commission will have the power to enforce campaign finance, end pay-to-play, and finally bring jurisdiction and oversight to so-called good government groups who hide their donors behind walls of sanctimony. The Reform Albany agenda will significantly drive down campaign contributions, call for require openness of outside income, will strip public officials of their pensions who commit felonies, phase in gradually public campaign finance, and will impose term limits on state office holders by constitutional amendment.
Governor Patterson from his State of the State address yesterday afternoon. You know, one thing that's always amazing, whether you like the job he's doing or not, is how well the governor memorizes his speeches since he can't see a teleprompter. He still delivers a 30-minute speech like that with confidence, with detail, and with passion. And we will play more clips as we discuss his proposals with various guests and with you. What did you think of Governor Patterson's State of the State ethics reforms? You can post right now to WNYC.org, click on Brian Lehrer Show, or to our Facebook page. We'll open the phones in a little while. I don't want you to have to sit on hold for a long time. We're a little bit away from the phone calls on this, but you can post to WNYC.org, click on Brian Lehrer Show, or to our Facebook page. And we also want to know, will you support Governor Patterson for re-election? If you're a Democrat, will you support him over Steve Levy or Andrew Cuomo as of today or any other Democratic comers? What do you think of the job that he's doing? Our first guest is State Senator Bill Perkins of Harlem. Senator Perkins, welcome back to WNYC.
Thank you for inviting me. Good morning to you and your guests. If I may, I'd like to just point out that the district, the 30th Senatorial District, is centered in Harlem, but it also includes the wonderful communities of the Upper West Side, Morningside Heights, Washington Heights, and El Barrio, East Harlem.
Absolutely. And is that the same seat that David Patterson used to hold?
It's the exact same seat. In fact, I'm sitting in the chair that he sat in when he was the senator, and I'm in the office, obviously, where he served as the senator. And so
do you and the president, do the president and former holders of that seat agree on these ethics reforms?
Well, there's nothing more important to me and to our conference than ethics reform. And clearly, he's on the right track as far as that's concerned. And as you pointed out, it was a well-delivered, eloquent speech. But you know, the problem is that the public perception is that we are more committed to enriching insiders and ourselves at the expense of everyone else. And clearly, the Bruno trials revealed that in a very, very telling way. And frankly, I think that ethics reform is right in the direction in which we're heading in terms of how politically connected developers are that feed the perception that the fix is in against the public. And that's why we're calling in that regard as well for the reforming of the eminent domain laws, where we've seen abuse in terms of property and government being connected with developers and the people's confidence in government being challenged, to say the least.
Okay, but then I guess you agree with the governor's overarching premise because some people have said that he was talking about ethics as a distraction from the state's fiscal problems, which are his problems. But his overarching premise is that the state's financial problems are largely a function of lax ethics and the influence of special interest lobbyists. Do you agree with that?
There are too many states in the country that are suffering in some respects worse than our own to suggest that it's simply a matter of ethics. There's clearly an economy at issue that's not only in terms of our state, but in nationally. And so while I do agree that ethics and is playing a part in terms of decisions that are being made that are not the best decisions for the people of the state of New York, that not the best decisions for the state of New York, but it's obviously bigger than that.
Right. When the governor talks about the special interests, you mentioned developers as one. Anyone else you would put near the top of that list as far as you're concerned?
Well, there are others that one could identify in terms of not only developers, but advocates that come up in terms of whether they be in the various healthcare areas or the educational areas. So the whole process, to some extent, is about special interests. But and that's part of the democratic process. But when we overwhelmed by them, as we have seen, particularly in terms of the abuse of eminent domain, then it becomes dysfunctional and interests of the public, faith of the public, it becomes a problem.
The place where Columbia wants to expand is in your district. So you're talking about eminent domain, but the governor wants to talk about term limits, limits on campaign donations, things like that. One of the reasons that you're in the Senate in the first place, I think it's fair to say, is that you got term limited out of a comfortable city council seat. Are term limits good or bad for New York City, and would they be good or bad for New York State, in your opinion?
Well, I've never been a supporter of term limits per se, because, after all, the end of your term is a limit. And I don't think it's a question simply of needing to limit terms that will create the kind of good government and responsive government that we're interested in. But I think that there are other measures that he pointed out that are significant in that regard, particularly when you're talking about revealing sources of income that sometimes members get by virtue of being lawyers and not knowing whether or not those decisions that we're making.
So you're ready to tell all and have your colleagues tell all, as far as that goes.
Well, I don't have any problem with that. In fact, I like the model that we're seeing to some extent in Congress, where the members have been made into full-time legislators with limited outside income. I think that anything that allows us to be more revealing can only help us in terms of the perception of the public. I'm all for that.
On the fiscal side of the governor's record, is he acting more like a Republican than a Democrat from El Barrio and Manhattan's West Side and beating up on you guys in the legislature for spending too much while he's proposing cuts?
Well, clearly he has changed his tune in the sense of, he's determined that Wall Street was Main Street and understands from that point of view it becomes a priority for him. So I don't want to believe that he's changed it altogether, but he obviously is including perspectives that were not what we knew of him when he was sitting in the seat that I'm sitting in.
So before you go, are you definitely supporting Governor Patterson over Andrew Cuomo or all comers in the Democratic primary?
At this point, I am supporting the reelection of the governor. However, I have not made an endorsement, and that's still to be determined. But at this point, there is no other choice. I don't believe there's another candidate that has indicated that they were running. We know that there's some discussion about several others, including Cuomo, but at this point, there's only one choice.
at this point. But when the governor's father, Basil Paterson, and some other eminences grease from the district went on New York One the other day and said basically, hey, Andrew Cuomo, don't come in and, you know, mess with our representation. Are you in that camp?
I think that Andrew Cuomo has the right to step forward and make a present representation as far as wanting to represent the state as the governor. But I would not say that he or anyone else should not do that.
Okay. And last thing, while we're on the topic of endorsements, you know about Harold Ford possibly challenging Senator Gillibrand in a Democratic primary. Are you open-minded on who you would support in that?
Harold who?
I understand the answer. State Senator Bill Perkins from that Tennessean who's now a New Yorker, you know. Senator Bill Perkins from...
Does he live in Harlem? I know there's a Ford that lives in my neighborhood, but I don't know of a Harold Ford.
Senator Bill Perkins from Harlem, Washington Heights, Upper West Side, El Barrio. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, and I look forward to talking with you more about ethics, particularly in terms of the reform of eminent domain, which is, I think, a very, very important issue affecting not only the people in this community, but throughout the state.
Thank you very much. We've covered it a lot, and we'll cover it more. And here's another clip from the governor's State of the State address, going after the well-funded special interests.
The moneyed interests, many of them here today as guests, have got to understand that their days of influence in this Capitol are numbered. They have routinely demanded special treatment without any regard for others. Well, no one person or group is above any others or more deserving of any more hardship and pain. The reality is that there is no moral high ground on trampling on others to get there, and there is nothing lower than engaging in the currency of influence to the detriment of other New Yorkers that don't have the same representation.
And now a Republican take on the governor's State of the State and ethics reform proposals comes from John Faso, former Assembly Republican leader who ran unsuccessfully for governor against Eliot Spitzer in 2006 and for controller against Alan Hevesy in 2002. Mr. Faso, welcome back to WNYC.
Thank you, Brian. Nice to be with you.
And, you know, considering how Hevesy and Spitzer turned out, I'll bet a few New Yorkers may be wishing, if only, hearing your name right about now.
Well, they had their chance, and they missed it.
That's a pretty unusual badge of honor you've got there.
Well, it was an honor to run for office. We came very close in the comptroller race in 2002. It's tough running as a Republican in New York State, as you know. But what I'm proud about, though, is the fact that we campaigned honorably in both races, and we lost them fair and square. I wish the result was different, but it is what it is. But many of the things that I advanced in 2006, for instance, are now the topics of discussion, whether it's property tax caps, term limits, spending restraint, Medicaid reform. Go down the list. The things that I warned the state about in 2006, I think virtually every one of the things I said has come true. In terms of the fiscal dilemma the state was facing.
And the governor keeps playing the fiscal hawk to the spendthrift legislature as he portrays them. Does that make it harder for a Republican to run against him this year if he's the nominee?
I don't think so. I do think I congratulate the governor on being frank with the people of the state. And I think that leaving the partisanship aside, New York has real problems. We have deep-seated problems in our economy. We have failing schools in many places. We've got a Medicaid system that spends well beyond what virtually every other place in the country. In fact, if you add up, I think it's we outspend California, we outspend Texas and Florida combined on Medicaid. We're not getting the bang for the buck in this state. And if you go upstate, Brian, and many of your listeners travel upstate and are aware of what I'm speaking of, it literally is an economic wasteland in many places. And so the state is in dire economic condition. We face a $20 billion gap between the revenues that are expected in the next 2 years and the projected spending. And so that's why the governor's call for dramatic change and fiscal restraint and responsibility is very timely.
And in terms of where the blame lies, the governor and just about everyone say the overspending and overborrowing were going on for decades. And for 12 years until 06, the governor was Pataki and the Senate was controlled by Republicans. So Democrats would say your party is at least as responsible for the roots of the fiscal crisis as they are, and maybe more. Would you agree?
I agree that both parties are equally culpable in the fiscal mess and economic mess that New York is facing. I think that, and I served in the Assembly for many years, I will tell you that neither side has a market or has a corner on fiscal rectitude.
So when the governor talks about special interests, do you agree with his overarching premise that the state's financial problems are at least in large measure a function of lax ethics and the influence of special interest lobbyists?
I think that the fiscal problems of the state are much more complicated than just a random shot at special interests and lobbyists. I do think that the situation we're faced with now, spending is out of control in large part because the legislature, often under the influence of those special interests, simply refuses to acknowledge the degree of our problem. Look, when the governor put out his budget last year, you will recall that he was faced with an unrelenting barrage of advertising from hospital organizations and unions. He was going to throw grandma out in the street. Johnny wouldn't have a classroom to learn in. All of this kind of stuff. This kind of hyperbole, unfortunately, it persuades people. And many among the public, I think, still don't understand that mathematics and the rules of economics apply here. And we simply cannot print money in New York State. There have to be real cuts in spending, and there have to be changes. Now, the special interests, particularly the public employee unions, are enormously resistant to changes in the way in which labor negotiations are conducted, the way salary increases and work rules are aligned. Just look at the MTA. An arbitrator awarded an 11.5% increase, salary increase, to the transit workers union. The MTA can't afford it. The traveling public can't afford it. It is going to decimate the needed capital spending that we need to keep the system in good repair and keep the system operating efficiently. But we're going to pay over $2 billion, some think it's as high as $3 billion, of salary increases to all public employees in New York State this year, whether it's the state government, local school districts, public authorities like the MTA, counties, cities, and towns around the state. At the same time we're paying raises, the private sector economy is laying off, is cutting salaries, is trying to do everything they can to survive. There's something wrong with that picture.
And we have to go, but are you running for statewide office of any kind this year? Maybe people will want to take a second look.
Well, maybe they would, but I doubt that I am. I announced that I am not running for state comptroller earlier this week, and highly unlikely I'm running for office.
John Faso, thanks a lot for coming on.
Brian, thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC will continue on the governor's state of the state in a minute. We'll play another clip. We'll talk briefly to the state comptroller, and we'll get ready for your phone calls. Do you agree with the ethics reform proposals from Governor Patterson, including term limits, strict limits on campaign donations, more disclosure by elected officials, and in general, how good a job is Governor Patterson doing? If you had to choose right now between the likely candidates for the Democratic nomination for governor, would you choose Patterson, Andrew Cuomo, or Suffolk County Executive Steve Levy? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Is the governor posturing with all of this? or doing the hard work that has to be done. 212-433-9692.